This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومرشدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واجعل لي وزيرا من أهلي هارون أخي اشدد به أزري وأشركه في أمري. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, the greatest of Allah's creation, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not come to planet Earth as a ruler, but he came as a leader. The greatest of all of those men chosen by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the Sahaba, those who stood tall, head and shoulders above the rest, throughout the annals of not only Islamic or Muslim history, but even human history in general, it was never rulers that prospered, it was always leaders that prospered. And we need to understand the difference. And it is my hope that in the next few minutes, inshallah, in this afternoon's discourse, we will be able to unpack some of the issues that will enable us to distinguish between a ruler and a leader. What makes a person a ruler? What makes a person a leader? And the difference between ruling and leading. We know, just to put it in a summarized form up front, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led by example. He did not demand obedience. He secured obedience by means of his example. A ruler depends on authority. A leader depends on his qualities. A ruler depends on authority. A leader depends on his qualities. A ruler demands respect. A leader enjoys respect. So there is a few words up front. Now let's look at some of these concepts in terms of the difference between a ruler and a leader. And a little later I'll go into some of the essential qualities of a leader. Because each one of us, in some way or the other, we are leaders. At the bare minimum, we are leaders of our homes. الرجال قوامون على النساء. We are rulers over our offspring, over our children. Perhaps we may be rulers in our business or in the place that we work. But in some way or the other, we have some degree of leadership or the other. And we need to, as we're talking, not judge the next man, but judge ourselves. Am I a ruler or am I a leader? Am I ruling or am I leading? The first first point I want to make, a leader emerges amongst people, a ruler campaigns amongst people. A leader emerges from within the ranks of the people that he will lead, and a ruler will campaign and he will want to be asked to lead. There is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. Do not ask for a position of authority. Nabi Muhammad said, do not hanker after position. Do not run after position. Do not become obsessed with wanting position. Position should not be integral to your existence in life. Because if the purpose is to occupy the position, the help of Allah is not with you. And if you are capable and able, and people elevate you to that position, then the help of Allah will be with you. Those are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That personally, you should not hanker, you should not desire, you should not have that passion. Yes, if it comes upon you, then you serve and you lead in a very humble way. So that's the first point. A leader emerges amongst people. A ruler campaigns amongst people. The second, a leader derives his appeal from humility. A ruler appeals for superiority. The person who's always pumping his chest, I did this, I can do this, I will do this, I need to be acknowledged for that, I am better, I am more capable, I am more able, I have a better track record. That person has a superiority complex. And that makes him a ruler. A leader is always humble. A leader is always humble. It doesn't mean that a leader doesn't understand his strengths. And he doesn't understand his potential. But he never beats his drum about it. He's never pumping his chest about it. He remains humble. If the people come to him and they are willing for him to lead, then he leads. But he leads in a way that is underpinned by humility, not superiority. Look at many of the leaders of the world today. They lead in such a way as if they are superior to the subjects. They talk and they conduct themselves in such a way that it exudes superiority. It's a condescending mindset in rulers. But leaders, no matter the higher level of knowledge, the higher level of expertise and experience and wisdom, they always remain humble with the people that they are serving, with the people over whom they are leading. A leader's hallmark is mercy. A ruler's hallmark is authority. A ruler rules with authority. The clenched iron fist proverb. His hallmark is mercy. The greatest of all leaders, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Allah say with regards to him? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. His entire conduct, including the dimension of his blessed existence, relating to his leadership, was underpinned by this. If he was leading the congregation and he heard a child crying, he would shorten the salah. Not, I'm the imam, I'm the authority, I'll lead as much as I want. I will lead the longest surahs. Who's there to question me? No, it was underpinned by mercy. He would interact with children on their level. You and I today, who's this young kid? I said, oh, why? Does he understand my position? He must run up to me and greet me. And if he doesn't run up to me and greet me, I'll bellow at him like a bull. Hey, do you know who you are? Do you know who I am? Why don't you greet me? That was not the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would approach the young boys. Actually, Anas radiallahu anhu said, never did the Nabi of Allah ever give us a chance as young boys to greet you first. He always greeted us first. And these were young boys of the age of 10 and 11. So a leader, his hallmark is mercy. A ruler, his hallmark is authority. The next difference, a leader shows concern. He shows concern for the people and for the cause that he's serving. A ruler is always demanding obedience and compliance. A ruler is constantly harping. You must listen to what I say. You must do it my way. This is what I said. Why don't you do it differently? But a leader is always worried about the broader picture. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. In one verse, Allah encapsulates the leadership qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when you go through difficulty, your difficulty becomes his difficulty. A ruler will say, don't make your problem my problem. A leader will say, your problem is my problem. If I'm your leader, your problem is my problem. Allah says, whatever you go through in terms of difficulty and hardship, it causes difficulty and hardship to your leader Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is your leader. So a leader is always concerned about the people that he's leading, the cause that he's leading. A ruler is only concerned about his authority. Are they listening to me or they're not listening to me? Are they following my rules and regulations or are they not following my rules and regulations? Is the boundaries being pushed or the boundaries not being pushed? وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He's always worried. How can I make things better for the people? And he's tender, he's kind, he's compassionate when it comes to the believers that he leads. And we see these examples are replete in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How the Nabi of Allah would take care of the widows, how he would take care of the orphans, how if anybody could come to him at any time and say, I want some of your time, he would have never remarked and said, do you know who you're asking? Do you know who you're asking? No. There was never a doorkeeper. There was never a secretary. You didn't have to make a formal appointment. Because he was a leader, he was there to serve the community. Out of love, out of humility, out of compassion, out of concern. The difference, so these are just a few differences that I'm going through. Another difference between a leader and a ruler. Because we need to strive to be leaders, not rulers. A leader has emotional intelligence. A ruler lacks emotional intelligence. This, the Prophet ﷺ taught us 1400 years ago. He said, three things are part of the good morals of a believer. When you are angry, do not let your anger drive you to do something which is wrong. Even if your anger is justified. When you are happy, don't let your happiness take you across the boundaries. Look at the balance. Emotional stability. Emotional intelligence. When you are angry, keep yourself in check. And when you are happy, keep yourself in check as well. And when you are in power, don't take more than what you deserve. Don't go beyond what is within your rights as a leader, within those parameters. In three sentences, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, summarized, and encapsulated what it means to be a leader. Today, the world talks about EQ being more important than IQ. If you go and you apply for a job in the big corporate space, they send you for 2 or 3 days of evaluation. They don't want to know about your IQ, that they can see from the qualifications that you have, your intelligence. They want to see what is your ability in terms of controlling your emotions. When you're dealing with a renegade, when you're dealing with someone who's rebellious, someone who's slow, someone who's not compliant, to what extent can you keep control of your intelligence? Emotional intelligence. And you would find this radiating in every example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we don't have this emotional intelligence when it comes to how we deal with our own kids, in terms of how we deal with our own workers, in terms of how we deal with those people over whom we have been privileged to be granted the ability to lead. This emotional intelligence, it's not only about what's right. It's not about who's right and who's wrong and what's right and what's wrong. It's not about black and white. It's about understanding every dynamic and being able to respond to it with wisdom and with tact. That's emotional intelligence. And even today in the corporate space, they would give preference to a person who has the ability to control, to manage, and to regulate his emotions over a person with a higher academic qualification or greater experience. Or a greater track record, even for that matter. Emotional intelligence is essential when it comes to leadership. Now, what I recited in my opening introduction was the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam when Allah granted him nubuwwah. Let us understand for a moment, brothers. Nubuwwah is the greatest position that can ever be conferred upon any of Allah's creation. It's the greatest position of leadership. There can be no greater position. No presidency, no kingship, no monarchy, nothing. Now, when Allah gives Musa alayhi salatu wasalam the greatest position on earth, makes him a Nabi. Look at his dua. And this dua will tell us volumes about the emotional intelligence of Musa alayhi salam. And how we need to apply them into our whole lives. What's the first thing that he does? There are five essential elements that we can draw from the dua of Musa alayhi salam, which teaches us about leadership. Rabbi shrah li sadri. The first thing he makes dua, he says, oh Allah, expand my wisdom. Wa yassir li amri. Now what's the meaning of expand my wisdom? It means guide me, grant me conviction of purpose, bless me, grant me the right temperament and the right ability. But the very first thing here the scholars highlight is that every leader remains humble in front of Allah. You put your request before Allah, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Allah, I cannot do nothing, I am nothing without your help. Without your help, now imagine Musa alayhi salam was just being granted the rule of Allah. And Allah won't give the rule to someone who's not capable. But look at the humility. What did I say? Leaders always show humility. Rulers always want to flaunt superiority. So he makes dua to Allah. That's the first essential of leadership. Right there on the top of the list of priorities, you must constantly be making dua to Allah. Then he says, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. وَحْلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. Musa al-Islam had a speech impediment. He used to stutter when he used to speak. So he says, oh Allah, in order for me to be a leader, I need to effectively communicate. I need to effectively communicate. So remove the impediments. You know, the scholars have done remarkable work on this one phrase. وَحْلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. They say, look at the leadership of Musa al-Islam. He was able to determine his own limitations. He knew what were his weaknesses. A great leader is that man who is more in tune with his weaknesses than his strengths. A ruler will be super obsessed with his strengths, all the time wanting to showcase it. A leader will be focused on his weaknesses all the time, trying to eliminate or to mitigate them. So Musa alayhi salam understood his limitations. And he said, oh Allah, I struggle when it comes to communication. Communication and leadership are essential. It's not only the ability to speak, but it's how you speak. Allah says to who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you are a person of vulgarity, if you're a person with a stern, acidic, sharp tongue, nobody will follow you. Nobody, not even Sahaba. Your cause will never be successful. Sometimes when Allah privileges us with a position, what do? We denigrate people. We insult people. We run people down. We speak with a finger in their face. We hurl abuse at them. We threaten them because we feel we have authority. And we want to show our authority. And we believe that we know better and we are superior. So, our tongue is used to lash. But that is a sign of a ruler, not a leader. A leader is able to regulate his tongue. He's able to use his tongue to coax people, to convince people. Show me one example where the Nabi of Allah insulted, or ran down people, or denigrated people, or spoke in a condescending way, or spoke in a harsh way. Even when the Nabi of Allah was angry and the matter was severe, his conduct and his emotions were regulated, constructive. And that's the difference between a leader and a ruler. Now we go further. So, that's the third. The fourth essential of leadership that we pick up from the dua of Musa alayhi salam, he says, وَجْعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي. Allah, make my brother Harun also here. The greatest dua that any brother made for a brother is the dua of Musa. He wasn't selfish. Oh Allah, I don't have certain skills which my brother Harun has. Not that I want to now want to have nubuwwah only for myself. Allah, you make him a Nabi also, so that together we would be more effective in fulfilling the mission. This is true leadership. You don't want to centralize everything around yourself. That I must do everything and everything must come through me. No, I have certain skills, somebody else has another set of skill set. Let's merge. It's not about the individuals, it's about the cause. But it takes a great man to come to this particular point. It takes a deep understanding of the seerah and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to firstly understand what the difference is between a ruler and a leader, and then to effect that difference into our lives where we are leaders more than we are rulers. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was not selfish. He understood the potential of his brother Harun and he created a space for his brother Harun alayhi salam. And the fifth thing, وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي. Oh Allah, why does Allah grant Nubuwwah to Harun alayhi salam? Because he can share my responsibilities. A ruler always wants to do everything himself. And he takes pride in that. I do everything. I give him so much of time. And everything goes past me. And a ruler will look down upon the leader. Because the leader delegates. A leader creates other leaders. A leader will look at others in potential. A leader will set up structure. It will put in place the relevant people at the relevant places. So that the processes can continue. So that the day that leader is no longer there, the work does not stop. That's the difference between a leader and a ruler. A ruler will do a lot, give a lot, put in a lot of time and effort. But the day the ruler departs, everything departs with him. Because there was no succession planning. There was no sharing of responsibilities. There was no creating of an infrastructure where everyone can play a part according to their strengths and can assist the cause. So from this dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we learn five things. Five essentials of leadership. The first is always turn to Allah in dua. The second is understand your own limitations. The third is communicate with people in the right way. The fourth is check potential in others and create space for them. And the fifth is share the responsibilities so that the growth can be faster and more substantial. And that the day you pass on, you know, somebody said so remarkably, when a man passes on and somebody says, we can't fill his shoes, that's not a compliment, it's an insult. It means he did not create somebody in the time that he had an opportunity who can succeed him and do the same that he did, if not better. The greatest compliment to a teacher is if his student can surpass him. The greatest compliment to a leader is if he can produce a leader that will do even better than him. Because it's not about your profile, your track record. You know why we are reluctant to share with others and to develop others? Because long after our bodies are deteriorating in Avalon, we want people to say, but nobody could do it the way he did. So what's the point? You'll get an acknowledgement, but the cause will suffer. The day your life slows, the day you have to depart, who carries on the work? So your profile and legacy was more important than the cause succeeding. Whereas a leader understands it's not about the individuals, it's not about the names, it's not about who and what, it's about whether the job gets done or not, whether the mission is accomplished or not. And if in the process of accomplishing the mission, I need to create many more leaders who will shadow me, and then overshadow me, initially shadow me and then overshadow me, then that will be part of my tawabeta. That will be part of my reward. A narrow-minded teacher, a jealous teacher, an insecure teacher, will not be able to see his student come up in life, and he will start finding fault with his students. But a magnanimous and a broad-minded teacher will take delight in seeing his students not only match him, but surpass him. So in conclusion, brothers, I mentioned right up front, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world as a leader, not as a ruler. There's a big difference between a leader and a ruler. And each one of us, we are leaders in some way or the other. At minimum, we are leaders in our own homes. A leader emerges from within the people. They put him up. A ruler is always campaigning to people that put me up. A leader derives his appeal from humility. A ruler derives his appeal from superiority, always pumping his chest. I did this and I can do this and I will do that. A leader's hallmark is mercy. Dealing with people with compassion, kindness, tolerance, softness. A ruler's hallmark is his authority, firmness. You know, ruling with an iron fist. A leader always has concern. The leader of a nation is their servant. A ruler is always demanding compliance. Do it my way and only my way. What we need to understand, lastly, brothers, is that our master and our leader, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came as a leader and not a ruler. So when we are within our own spaces, we need to become leaders. And when we are tasked with the amana of appointing, then we must apply our minds and say, who's a leader and who's a ruler? And then give preference, because we will be questioned with regards to amana, to those who show leadership qualities, not those who show rulership qualities. May Allah ta'ala grant me firstly the tawfiq in all of us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Brothers, one important announcement. I think it's a historic moment in the history of Nurul Islam that for the first time we will be having an AGM and an election on Sunday, inshallah, the nature of which will be conducted. We know that there was a lot of effort put in by multiple role players to come up with a new constitution, which was adopted by the Muslims approximately 2 months ago. And there's a great degree of electoral reform in the constitution. For the first time, we're moving away from people just congregating and willy-nilly appointing people and nominating people and hands flying all over the show. There's been a very structured process. 407 people have registered to be on the voters' roll. And those are the people, the only people, who will vote to come on Sunday. So it's a very structured process. Nominations were open for a structured period of time. The process was explained by the electoral officers whom we have to compliment, made a great degree of personal sacrifice and gave their time, and then the nominations closed, and now you all know who the nominees are and the process with regards to Sunday. So firstly, please come on time. 8:30, the registration is open. We want to start 9 o'clock. If everybody thinks I'll come 10 o'clock, then we won't have a quorum up front, and we'll have to start the meeting late. And then you don't want to, you know, start the meeting late, because if you start late, you're going to finish late. Just what point we need to understand. Sometimes you feel like, you know, I might as well just give preference to going for a picnic on Sunday, now it's going to be a big difference if I vote or I don't vote. This is an amana. And not exercising the amana is also a khiyana in amana. Not coming when you have a responsibility to come. Not coming when you have a responsibility to come is also a betrayal of that trust. And then also, it's not only about appointing people who are capable, able, and willing. No. It's about applying your mind. And that's why we went through this structured process. So for 2 weeks you could see, you have to apply your mind and say, I need to put together 7 people who can gel as a unit. Independently, they may all be capable, able, and willing. But if they don't gel as a unit, if there's only one individual there who is hostile to the rest, it compromises the progress of the whole institute. Because the remainder of the unit will spend half of the time dealing with the hostility of the hostile person, and rather than focusing on the interests of the organization. So this is an amana. Firstly, come and fulfill the amana. And secondly, apply your minds that I need to put together, in terms of who I vote for, a group of people who obviously will disagree with one another. There must be a base debate, but they will disagree in an agreeable way. They will disagree in a constructive and in a mature and Islamic way. They will disagree in opinions, but they will be united at heart. I need to put together a group of people who will work together. And I cannot even allow for even one individual who will go in there with my vote, who is hostile to the rest, and will stifle the progress of the institute. Let us make a special dua on this Mubarak day, at this Mubarak place, at this, in this Mubarak time. That Allah makes everything go well. On Sunday during the meeting, it's, as I said, a very historic moment. And this is very, very august, profound. I'm short of adjectives when it comes to describing the potential of this not listed only with the center. Allah has blessed me. I've traveled to many parts of the country and the world. What Nurul Islam has in terms of its potential, very few organizations, not only in this country, but worldwide has. And may it be that this meeting will result in what's in the best interest of Nurul Islam. And for once, alhamdulillah, we can move forward with the total team break. May Allah make it possible. Wa akhiru da'wana.